So you join us here live in Ferndown, believe it or not, which is a strange experience for me because I'm from Poole. Cycling always my lifelong passion, and believe it or not, the Tour of Britain is coming to Ferndown. Wonders never cease. The man who's made that happen is sat opposite me. That's Andy Hawes, the route director of the Tour of Britain, working for Sweet Spot Group. And Andy, it's a town where not a lot happens and where in September an awful lot is going to happen. But I can see why you're bringing the race here. There's some nice big wide roads.
Oh yeah, I mean, when we came here for the first time back in April, it was quite clear that Ferndown itself just lends itself to a perfect host town for a finish of the Tour of Britain. The roads running into it are super wide, and literally as we've just driven in now, talking to our route safety manager Steve Baxter, saying, do you know what, this is going to be such a fast running. There's a dead left hand turn at sort of 700-800 metres to go, and then it just rises up gradually just for the finish. So yeah, this is going to be a pretty spectacular sprint finish this stage.
Tell me about your day, because your day will have begun in West Bay today.
Yes, yeah, no, it did, yeah. It began 170 odd kilometres ago in West Bay. So we rolled out 3.2 kilometre neutralised section, and then we hugged the coast all the way to Weymouth, and then we shot inland a little bit and then joined the coast again in Lulworth, dropped down to Corfe Castle, and then headed back inland up through Wareham, through Blandford Forum, and then into Verwood, and then literally here we are in Ferndown.
The west of the county where you've just described, Lulworth, Corfe Castle, I mean, these are places where I go and ride my bike.
Yeah.
And absolutely mind-blowing for me to think that some of the best riders in the world are going to be racing over it. It would have been a beautiful place for anybody to drive today, but you won't have been taking in the scenery. You'll have had your eye on the technicalities of that route.
Oh, like yourself, I'm very, very familiar with Dorset. I was virtually brought up here as a child. We never had foreign holidays. We always came to Swanage.
Could you?
I love it. So I know the county really, really well. I've had a lot of time to ride my bike down here as well. I know a lot of the history of the place. I know a lot of the towns and villages. So it was nice to say to Steve as we were driving through, oh, this is this, and pointing out Corfe Castle and Tyneham and Lulworth and the firing ranges, the tank museum. You know, it's going to be an amazing stage. It shouldn't be underestimated.
Oh, this is my cycling backyard, and I'm beyond delighted that the race is coming here. It's going to be absolutely sensational. I saw when you got out of the car with Steve, Steve was clutching his iPad. Have you got some technical work to do in this area? What will you be checking now we're in the very heart of Ferndown, where riders will be travelling at speed?
Yeah, so we'll just make sure that the final run-in, the last 10 kilometres of any stage, are super important for safety. We've driven in a lot slower than the race will come in, just so that we could take all the information in and how we're going to set it up and how we're going to take traffic light junctions, the last couple of roundabouts, whether we're going to cut them or go the right way around them. Just literally building up a picture. And we've got one more route recce to do in, it's about 5 weeks from today, which is then 4 weeks before the event. I think we're only about 9 or 10 weeks from the event now, which is just crazy. So the final route recce will be the one where we just literally, is a tick box process, that we've got everything written down. We know what we're doing. We know how we're doing it. And it's just to make sure that come the day, this is how it's going to work. But like from Verwood and probably 10Ks before Verwood, the road, I can see it now. It's going to be an early breakaway. They're going to snaffle up all the King of the Mountains points and all the sprint points. And then, you know, whoever's on GC is just going to get the team to the front, turn the gas on, and it's going to be full bore to the finish here.
Well, that really is what I wanted to ask you about. That leap of the imagination. You can do all the technical side, you can tick all the boxes, note all the traffic islands, all the rest of it. But you've actually got to be able to envision professional bike race on the road in front of us.
Yeah, it's quite difficult sometimes because obviously when we're doing the route recces, we're doing the route recces in live traffic and we've got everything going on around us, and I have to concentrate primarily on driving my car and doing everything legally. And at the same time, I've got in the back of my mind, right, okay, well, we're coming up to this junction. What's going to happen when we get to this junction? We'll ask for quite a bit of parking restriction. So we have to envisage what it's going to look like with no parked cars. And quite often when I'm on the back of the motorbike in the race, I don't recognise somewhere because, A, we're travelling through so fast, whereas before we might have been backed up in traffic, or there's people there and there's like no parked vehicles. It's really quite crazy at times. So it's just literally building that picture up, both about how we're going to deliver it technically, and then how it's possibly going to be raced as well. You know, at the end of the day, the riders will race it how they want to, but the Tour of Britain in recent years has been quite formulaic. Like on a sprint stage, they'll let the early breakaway go, they'll mop up, as I said, all the sprints and KOMs, and then literally whoever's on GC will start riding with 20k's to go. So with this last 20k's as well, I'm happy for them to ride absolute full gas, because they're just brilliant roads. Everybody needs to look at the road book for today if they want that breakaway to succeed, because it's a possibility, but also in the same breath, it's also got that perfect situation where they could just close it down within a heartbeat.
Yeah, now this is stage 7. Yes. We're discussing stage 7 of 8, which means, Andy, that at the beginning of this very long week, you would have been a few hundred miles north of here.
Yeah, I was just looking at the car today. I left home a week ago today, Saturday last week, and today we've just ticked over 2,000 miles in 7 days.
That's a lot of drive.
So, yeah, no, I left Kent, where I live in Kent, on Saturday, drove up to pick Steve up from Leeds, and then we went all the way to Aberdeen, and yeah, we've driven every stage pretty much real time for the last 7 days, so it's been good. It's had some ups and downs, as you can imagine, but yeah, it's, you know, we were just finalising the sporting points, absolutely confirming that we're going to have a King of the Mountains here, or we're going to have a sprint there, or how are we going to do this, or where do we need traffic management, where's the running going to be closed from. So yeah, so we've literally done that day after day after day. So yeah, we're pretty tired now.
And this is, I bet you are, this is recce 2 of 3.
This is recce 2 of 3, so yeah, literally back in 4 weeks time. So from here we're going to hot foot it straight down to Portsmouth onto the old White Link ferry, straight across, and then we've got 2 nights in one hotel, which is pretty much unheard of. 2 nights a hotel in Ryde. So we'll drive stage 8 tomorrow and then put our feet up a little bit on Sunday evening after we've driven. I might even go, I've got my bike in the car, so I might even go and, you know, put a quick 30-40 k's in myself, hopefully, and then got an early meeting on Monday morning with Isle of Wight, and then back over on the ferry and back home. So
yeah, so arguably the best is yet to come.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the toughest final stages we've done for a little while. I said last year that I thought that the leader's jersey could change on the final stage, and it actually did, you know, on the finish on the Esplanade there in Aberdeen. Depending on what kind of lead that whoever's wearing the leader's jersey comes into on the final stage, I think again it could quite easily change. I mean, I've driven the Isle of Wight route a number of times now. You know, when we were formulating it, I'd never really been on the island and looked at having a bike race. So I think this will be about the 5th or 6th time that I've actually driven this route, so I know it quite well now. In April, I actually took the opportunity to ride the last 40 kilometres myself. I wished I hadn't, because I think the last 40 kilometres has got something like 700 metres of climbing. It was absolutely crazy. So don't underestimate the final stage. You know, that last 40 kilometres, and depending which way the wind comes as well on the military road, it's either going to be a howling tailwind like the day that I did it, or it's going to be a crazy, crazy headwind. And I hope it's a tailwind for them, because, wow, a headwind along there would be brutal.
One thing is absolutely certain is it is going to look spectacular. The helicopter shots over Tennyson Down, over the Solent, the Needles.
Yeah. I think, and not just on the final stage, I mean the helicopter shots on pretty much every stage this year, like the opening stage in Aberdeenshire. I mean, when we were up there and did the route recce, the first one in April, there was still snow everywhere. You know, the Scottish Borders never fails to deliver. Then County Durham, you know, we're going up one of the toughest climbs that County Durham's got to offer. And then, you know, the run down into Sunderland. And then we shouldn't be underestimating North Yorkshire. You know, we haven't had the race there for quite a few years now. We were there on Wednesday and it was absolutely stunning. You know, it's like, I know they say Yorkshire's God's county, and I almost agreed with my Yorkshire counterpart, but you know, I just couldn't. And then obviously into Nottinghamshire, and then parts of Nottinghamshire, just beautiful. And obviously we've got the Great Forest that we go through, and then Gloucestershire, as we saw with the women's tour, offered some spectacular scenery and spectacular racing. And then Dorset, I mean, you know, the first visit
now
for the
talking.
Now we're talking. I mean, yeah, as we come up over the firing range, over Lulworth Ranges, and it is breathtaking. You've got the sea on the right hand side, and you've got the plains on the left.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this year it's going to be visually exciting.
Yeah, I think the Jurassic Coast is going to stand up well to the scrutiny of the helicopter cameras.
Yeah,
we're saying now, you know, this is your 2nd of 3 route recces. The first you did back in April, but even that isn't stage one, is it? The beginning of the process is the meetings with the councils, is getting everybody on board to host this race. When did that take place?
You know, it's like it all started a long, long time ago. And if you know, let's take the Isle of Wight stage just for an example. You know, we were talking with the Isle of Wight back in 2019. We skipped this year. I can't remember. Something happened. I don't know what happened that made us lose a year.
Global pandemic, maybe.
That's the one. Yeah, global pandemic. You know, we were planning way in advance for that. Hence why I've done so many trips around the island, you know. But generally, we start 18 months, 1 year out. We'll get some initial thoughts down on paper. And we'll get some initial ideas on electronic maps, fire it across to them and you know, say to them, right, does this work for you guys? And basically, we're still tweaking. You know, we've tweaked the route today. We made quite a big change yesterday on stage six. The second route recce tends to be where it ends. We'll make no more changes.
There's a big logistical, a big commercial, I guess, process before you get your maps out and start planning the route. You've got to get the councils on board.
Yeah. And we have to make it work for the race as well. So it's you know, all well and good, you know, that we've got Dorset, or let's say, for example, it's all well and good we had the Isle of Wight, but we really needed Hampshire to make it happen, or we needed West Sussex so that, you know, it all fitted in so that we could all decamp down to Portsmouth and Southampton to get the ferries across. So, yeah, it doesn't happen by chance. You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. You know, one of the best and most exciting days of my year, and also can be the worst, is when we do the national route launch and, you know, everybody's, oh, fantastic, it's coming past my door, it's doing this, it's doing that, and then you get the others saying, wow, you know, why
it's
is it?
Coming
it's not coming
door.
Past my door. How can it be the Tour of Britain? You're not even going to Wales this year. But, they, you know, so short-sighted that last year they had two stages, and we always have to make the race work for us. And the race has to move in the right direction.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's strict UCI rules and regulations about transfer times and the amount of hours that it can be. And also, you know, our primary concern is looking after the riders. The riders are what we're doing this for. And if you upset the riders, and then that causes friction, and then this race is absolutely spot on in the calendar for anybody that wants to do well in the Worlds. And it has been for many years now, and it will continue. And it's a good warm-up race. Because the riders come here, they know how tough the Tour of Britain is. It's not days and days of like flat roads and bunch sprints, it's up and down. The roads are so much heavier, like a 2 or 3 mile an hour drop in speed in the roads, and it's always feels much harder. Anybody that wants to do well in the Worlds is always going to come to the Tour of Britain over the Vuelta, hopefully.
And will that be true this year, given that the Worlds are 12,000 miles?
I think this year may be a little bit different, but I don't know. You look back over the years and the successes of people that have won the Worlds, whether it be the road race or the time trial, you've always seen they've done a bit of a showing in the Tour of Britain. Let's hope so, fingers crossed.
Do you have a trusted pro that you can get to try out some of these routes? Do you have various pros in different counties that you can sound out?
Sometimes, you know, if there's something that I've come across that maybe I've never come across before or wanted to try and include, I'll always ask like a pro their thoughts on it. And I think the last time we actually did that was when we had a time trial in Bristol. It was a really big descent. We asked Alex Dowsett his thoughts on descending a hill like that on a time trial bike, and it was like, yeah, you know, it's, I have to get it into my head sometimes. You know, yes, I'm a cyclist. No, I'm nowhere near pro level, but you look at it as you would cycle it and you think, well, we've got the full width of the road here. You're going to go curb to curb, gutter to gutter. I get a real good feel for it now. Certainly since I've been the regulator on the back of the bike, you really get to see what these guys can do. Some of the venues that we speak to, and they'll say, you know, I don't know how they're going to get through that small gap. I have an analogy that I use with them now. I said the peloton is just like a swarm of bees. They'll come to something and then they'll go around it like that. You'll never see a swarm of bees crashing into something. So I said that, you know, it's very, very similar for the cyclists. They're all very good at avoiding hazards. But having said that, you know, they'll probably crash into something now. Like, there's always one or two that tend to find the bollard that's obscurely not marked. Gives them a bit of a like an understanding of how the race moves.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier about keeping the riders on side, about the logistical aspect, all that kind of stuff. Tomorrow, or in fact, in half an hour's time, you're going to experience the biggest logistical challenge, I guess, which is getting that race to the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
Well, how big a challenge is that?
Huge. Yeah, it's huge. You've just got to think from an organisational perspective. I've got 32 police motorbikes, a couple of police cars. I've got a further 40 civilian motorbikes that make the race run. I've got all the commissaires' cars, the AA, you name it. I've got to get all of those onto the island even before we've even thought about the 20 teams. What we've said to the teams. It's like they just need to bring a bit of reduced infrastructure over. So do they actually need to bring their equipment truck, or can you get away with two team cars and the bus, or two team cars and a minibus? So, you know, we're working through this process at the moment. But yeah, it's huge logistics.
And the ferry companies, they're all on board?
We've got a great partnership with Whitelink. They've come on board. They're there to help us out as well, to make sure that we get everybody on and off the island smoothly. Some people won't be going onto the island until the morning, and other people will be going overnight. But yeah, it's a big, big logistical operation.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, literally my first job as a cycling journalist was to sample a sportive on the Isle of Wight, and that was 2012, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I know that the Isle of Wight councils were chasing the cycling dollar even then, and rightly so. It's a beautiful place to ride a bike, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. As I said, I was over there in April, and I rode the last 40 Ks, but foolishly forgot that I had to ride the 40 Ks back to where I'd left my car. So, you know, so I did 80 K round trip, but the roads are fantastic. I know Island Roads have spent a lot of money on, you know, making the roads some of the best roads that the race will be on this week. And then the amount of traffic, it just seems different. And I think because it's such a big economy thing for the island, the drivers there are a little bit more tolerant of cyclists as well. So just felt super safe. As a cyclist myself, I loved it. These guys, you know, as pros, we've put some grippy little climbs in it for them. You know, it's not an easy final stage. It's not going to be a parade lap of the island, shall we say.
If the race remains in play to the final stage as it did last year, you will have had a job well done.
I hope so, yeah. We've been to some completely different regions this year, and, you know, we've had a right old mix of terrain. You know, we're mixing things up right from the word go, with the opening stage finishing at the Glen Shee ski station. You know, it's like we always like to have a bit of a hilltop finish, but not necessarily on stage one, you know. But the climb up, you know, whilst it's tough, I'm hoping that it won't affect overall GC, you know, because the main players are going to be there. Like, what's interesting, again, and this goes back to me riding bits of the route myself and thinking, bloody hell, this is going to be hard. And then I actually ride it, think, well, actually, I'm getting up here reasonably okay. And then these guys are still probably in the big ring going up the last 3Ks of Glen Shee, you know, it's because it's not super tough. And then the rolling roads of the next three stages, the Yorkshire stage on stage four, I think without a shadow of a doubt, it will literally be one of the hardest stages we've done for a number of years. It's super short. It's about 147 kilometres. But literally, if you're not going up, you're going down. And some of the descents are breathtaking. I'm going to have to tell my pilot to push on some of them, because I don't want to get caught.
I mean, funnily enough, we were talking about this in the recording on Thursday. You know, this trend towards shorter stages, and the two best stages of the Giro this year, for my money, were those two circuit stages, short but action throughout. It sounds like you've got something similar going on in Yorkshire.
It's a bit of a common misconception. A long stage doesn't necessarily mean a good stage, because, you know, the riders think, oh, you know, we've still got another 180 k's to go when they've done 60 already. It just drags on, and for them, certainly if it's a bit featureless, no big climbs or anything to split it up, they'll let the break go. They'll let the break go for 6, 8, maybe even 10 minutes, and they know that it's probably going to be a sprint finish, so that's when they'll start winding it back in, and you know, maybe the last hour, 90 minutes of racing is the most exciting. Again, you know, as you said, you know, this goes back to the stage in Bristol, and I think we had a stage of about 135 kilometres, and I mean, like, from kilometre zero to when we crossed the finish line again in Bristol, it was just flat out, absolutely flat out. I think the shorter stages is what they need. The first four stages are going to be pretty tough. Fifth stage in Nottinghamshire, I think it's going to give them a little bit of time to decompress a little bit. You know, there's some super wide roads and, you know, like long straight roads where they can almost switch off, and they need that after the first four stages. So, because, you know, they've got so much going on, and I guess, you know, it's like any grand tour, the first couple of stages are nervy. I always try and sort of put in a bit of an easier stage for them so they can switch off and recover and get ready for their final push, and they've got a final push this year.
Well, we say it here, Andy, almost to the point of cliche, that the Tour of Britain goes from strength to strength, and the facts back up the hyperbole. You know, last year it went to the final stage. The protagonists were a rider called Wout van Aert, a rider called Ethan Hayter.
Yeah.
You know, world-class riders. You've been designing this route now for many years. Where do you think the Tour of Britain stands in the pecking order? I know it was always Sweet Spot's ambition. We're going to be the fourth best. We can't compete with the three-week Grand Tours, but among the week-long stage races, we want to be the best there is.
I think we are. I think we are up there with the best there is. There's a handful of facts that back that up. Looking at social media stats, we're the fifth biggest race because I think Paris-Roubaix, although it's only a one-day race, has got a bigger social media engagement than us. The Tour de France, the Giro, the Vuelta, Paris-Roubaix, Tour of Britain in social media standings, which, thinking about today's world, social media is king. You know, we'll take that. We're constantly thinking about what's the next biggest thing. You know, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm watching the TV programmes, I'm listening to GCN and everything like that, and hearing what the feedback is, and you're trying to sort of see bits and pieces. And some people want, you know, why are you not adding gravel in, or why are you not doing this? And just listening to feedback on other races and I'm watching other races, I'll never criticise another race, because you never know if we're only one step away from that action that's caused such and such. But there's plenty going on, and I think at this precise moment in time, like, we'll continue to build what we've got, our relationships up in Scotland, hopefully this new reformed relationship with Yorkshire, so much undiscovered road still in Yorkshire and Dorset, yeah, and other regions that are new to us.
As a southerner, I can't thank you enough as somebody from Dorset for bringing the race here. I understand entirely Yorkshire, you know, recent history with the Tour de France and British cycling, being in Manchester and all the rest of it, and the north of the country has always been the cycling heartland, but absolutely wonderful to see Britain's biggest race down here in Dorset. Andy, thank you very much for giving us your time today, right in the middle of your second route record. Absolutely brilliant that you've taken the time out for us. I wish you every success.
Thank you.
In the weeks ahead, I don't think I'm giving away any confidences to say that everybody at Brother thinks this is a wonderful race to be involved with. I think most cycling fans would say the Tour of Britain is one of the best races in the world, and you've only got to look at the quality of fields that it attracts,
yep,
to validate that. So
yeah,
thank you very much for all that you do for cycle sport in this country.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much for taking time out to talk to us today.
No, it was my pleasure. Thank you for the coffee, even sat outside. What's not to like?